Hi, thank you for tuning in to our fourth live stream lunch. I'm here at Tenderson Partners with Joseph Sardella. He is a CPA CA partner with US Tax Services. He has over 25 years of experience in the US and cross-border tax matters. His expertise is in the interpretation and application of US tax laws as they apply to personal and corporate tax return preparation and planning. Today, Joseph is going to discuss the rapidly changing tax landscape in the United States at both the federal and state levels. These changes present challenges to Canadian businesses who are looking to expand into the American market. And I'll let Joseph take it from here.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'd like to thank the Oakville Chamber for the opportunity to speak today, and I hope that you find today's presentation informative and interesting. I'm going to be discussing three topics. The first is just to highlight and touch upon some recent tax changes in the U.S. tax reform. Secondly, I'm going to look at the filing of U.S. tax returns. When does a Canadian company have to file a U.S. return, and what kind of return has to be filed, given the business that it conducts in the United States? And thirdly, I'll be talking about a state Supreme Court case that just was issued on June 21st that has changed the landscape with respect to sales tax and how out-of-state companies will collect and remit sales tax. So it's significant, and we should have time to get through that as well. So on December 22nd, President Trump signed into law the tax reform bill that was the most sweeping and comprehensive overhaul of the tax code since 1986. There were a lot of international provisions that were detrimental, I would say, to some U.S. companies doing business abroad. But from a U.S. domestic perspective, the tax changes were favorable, and I think it's changed the landscape in terms of just the tax rates and how companies conduct business in the U.S. versus abroad. Under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which is what is called effective January 1st, 2018, the U.S. corporate tax rate dropped from 34-35% down to 21%. And when I say corporations, I refer to what we call as C corporations, the letter C. In the U.S., there are three types of corporations, LLCs, C, and S, and these would be the C corporations that have experienced this tax reduction. If you, there's a rumor that it might drop down to 20% in October when new legislation is tabled. So if you take into consideration the federal rate of 20% and an average U.S. state rate of between 3-5%, you're looking at an all-in U.S. tax rate of about 25.7%. It used to be 40%, 40-41%, 35% plus a state rate of about 5-6%, and it was the highest among the OECD nations. So from the highest, it's dropped to just below the average and just behind Canada's all-in rate, which is about 26.4%. These tax cuts also had another benefit. In the United States, corporations did not enjoy favorable tax rates for capital gains. Capital gains were taxed at whatever the regular tax rate was, whether it's 40% or 35%. Now, with the drop in the rate to 21%, capital gains are taxed at a much lower rate, which makes it more favorable to purchase and dispose of assets within the corporate, we call it the corporate solution, the corporate structure. And it also brings it more in line with the Canadian tax rates. Now, we're not suggesting for a moment that the U.S. has become a tax haven, but it's changed the landscape. It's made their rates more competitive, and it's removed the disincentive of setting up U.S. corporations by foreign companies doing business in the U.S. It's leveled the playing field, if you will, and it's also taken away Canada's longstanding competitive advantage with respect to tax rates, 40% versus 26%. It's a significant difference. And whereas when the tax rates were high, most Canadian businesses, when they expanded into the U.S., what they tried to do is they tried to avoid U.S. taxation. They would carry on business as a branch operation. And then if they structured things properly, they would be able to avoid U.S. tax under the Canada-U.S. tax treaty because they didn't have what's called a permanent establishment in the U.S. Now that's changing. What we're seeing is Canadian companies expanding into the U.S., setting up U.S. corporations, U.S. C corporations, and using that as their U.S. base right from the beginning. It wouldn't change from a branch into a corporation, setting it up right from day one. And there's some advantages to that. Given the current climate in the U.S., with President Trump and the trade war that's developing, setting up a U.S. corporation as a storefront is more favorably received by U.S. customers. They prefer to deal with a U.S. corporation. They can see who they can sue. And so from that perspective, it's very, very preferential to carrying on business as a trade, or carrying on business as a branch. Having a U.S. corporation eliminates a lot of the cross-border paperwork, and I can't emphasize this enough. A lot of our clients, Canadian businesses that are selling into the United States, they have to fill out what are called W-8 forms, and they are very, very difficult to complete, very comprehensive, very cumbersome, and having a U.S. corporation just eliminates all of that paperwork. Because with the W-8 regime, the law states that every U.S. person paying a foreign person, whether it's for purchase of a product or for services, has to hold back 30% of the payment. And the way you get out of this 30% withholding is by providing a W-8 form to the U.S. customer. But one thing I want to emphasize is, and this is a big mistake that many clients make, is that they believe that filing the W-8 form is sufficient. It's not. You have to also file a U.S. tax return. And the type of U.S. tax return that you file depends on the type of W-8 form that you prepare and submit to your client. Most clients have a W-8-BENE form that's submitted to their customers, and this requires the Canadian company to file a protective U.S. return, because what you're doing is you're relying on the Canada-U.S. tax treaty and saying, hey, U.S. customer, don't withhold 30% on the payment to me because we don't have a permanent establishment in the U.S., we don't have a sufficient connection to the U.S. market, and we're not subject to that U.S. taxation. So that protective return has to be filed. If it's not filed on time, and this means within 2 years of when it should be filed, the IRS has the ability to step in and impose a 30% penalty tax on the gross revenue. So if a Canadian customer, Canadian client has been selling into the U.S., say $10 million a year, and they have not filed this treaty-based return, the U.S. can come in and impose a tax liability of $3 million on that gross amount. So it's a lot to sort of keep in mind. It's a lot to monitor. It's easy to miss these filings. So setting up a U.S. corporation just eliminates a lot of that. The other thing is having a U.S. corporation lends itself well to bringing in U.S. partners. Inevitably, it seems that when you expand into the U.S., either a U.S. Party is interested in purchasing the operations, or they want to come in and partner, and it's easier to bring in a U.S. partner at the U.S. corporate level, or even down below if you set up LLCs. Compare that to introducing a U.S. partner at the Canadian level. It makes it very cumbersome because you're crossing the border twice, and it's just very difficult to structure the reorganization when you have this type of structure or ownership. From an exit strategy perspective, it's a lot easier to sell the shares of a U.S. corporation than the shares of a Canadian company. Under the Canada-U.S. tax treaty, a Canadian company can sell shares of a U.S. company and not pay any U.S. tax on that capital gain. Article 13 of the Canada-U.S. tax treaty provides that protection. So that is a great way to exit the U.S. market without any U.S. tax. On that point, some rules of thumb still hold true. You do not want to set up your U.S. business as an LLC, a limited liability company. These entities are still considered to be hybrids. They're treated as corporations for U.S. tax. Sorry, U.S. as corporations for Canadian tax, and as pass-through for U.S. tax. And what it does is it creates a mismatch of foreign tax credits and a double taxation situation. So if you do expand into the U.S., C corporation is always the first one. Another area that the tax reform has impacted is typically Canadian companies have been carrying on business in the U.S. through partnerships. And it used to be that you could sell your partnership interest and not have to pay any U.S. tax. The tax reform has now stopped that. If you sell U.S. partnership interest, you're going to pay U.S. tax. Compare that to the sale of shares of a U.S. corporation by the Canadian parent. I want to turn finally to the sales tax issue in the Supreme Court case. So let's consider a scenario. You're a Canadian corporation that sells furniture into the U.S. market. You don't have any connection in the U.S. Do you have to collect U.S. sales tax? Well, under the old rules, you would not have to collect U.S. sales tax because you didn't have a physical presence. This Supreme Court case, and this is not a state Supreme Court, it's a federal Supreme Court case, now says that you have to have, you don't have to have a physical presence in the state for there to be sales tax imposed, or for the requirement to sales tax, for sales tax to be collected. So Canadian companies now have to look at this new landscape and determine whether or not they have to collect U.S. sales tax, because it's moved from a physical presence to an economic presence. And so what does this mean? There's been a lot in the literature about whether or not states can collect sales tax from Canadian corporations. If you wanted to go by the letter of the law, there's nothing that allows them to enforce collection in an international domain. There's no tax treaty. But I think the right thing to do is very clear. There's a bright line. Sales tax should be collected if you have an economic presence in the U.S. states. And there are a lot of states now that are revamping their legislation to replicate what's going on in South Dakota, which is where the Supreme Court case took place. I know that's been a lot to get through. I hope it was informative. And if we have any questions, I'd be happy to address them now.
No questions. Thank you so much, Joseph. Okay. And again, if you have questions after watching the stream, please feel free to add it in the comment section.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Across the Desk. Henderson Partners is a leading firm of chartered professional accountants and advisors that are dedicated to serving entrepreneurial people and organizations, privately held companies, family-owned businesses, nonprofit organizations, and high net worth individuals. If you're interested in learning more about the services offered by Henderson Partners, please visit www.hendersonpartners.com. Thank you.